Well, this morning we're going to go back into our teaching again. We're talking about a full salvation. God won't let me out of this area. I've been studying along these lines and, God is just in the mode of the desire to bless. You know, that's His greatest desire. You know, I was born and raised in a church world and I thought God's greatest desire was to try to correct us and try to do something to us and, He was more of a judge than a blesser. Now judgment is, now understand this, judgment's not a bad thing. You know, the term judgment used in its general sense in the New Testament is a word that has to do, could be used in the area of judgment concerning punishment, but most of the time it is used from the idea of dealing with something. In other words, God coming along, trying to bring things back into order again. It would be used in the area of to justify or to set things in order. God is judging something to bring it to the place of justice and righteousness, so it prevails. And that's what He's trying to do. And so we need to get ourselves over that. God's always moving. God's moving in the areas of love. That's His basic, is love. If God judges or does something, His motive is love, always. That's what it is. It's not to harm. God judged, you know, just like we look at scriptures, God judged other nations around Israel who came against Israel, and He judged them to protect Israel, to protect His people. He wasn't judging them just because He hated them. That wasn't the purpose. God was trying to preserve. And you need to, we've lost that. Today, we, in our American society, and even in the church world, in a lot of times, hates justice. They're more for the guy who does evil than the person that does good. We in our country, you know, it's just like one judge, I saw a thing and I read the headline of it, and this judge said, you know, America's really gotten messed up because really we're promoting evil and we're promoting injustice more. In other words, criminals can go ahead. We're telling them, go ahead and commit crimes. You know, when judges start saying that, we're in trouble. But see, that's part of getting into sin. We're dealing with the areas of the curse. We shouldn't be surprised those things are going on. Evil people are doing more evil. And they will be more evil. And we want to look at these things. We're going to look at them. We're dealing with the area because God's desire is to bless. And we looked at the scriptures, and I want to read again from Galatians, the third chapter, really sort of a foundation of what we've been going over here the last number of weeks. In the 13th verse of the third chapter of Galatians says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We were looking at these things. One of the things we got overlooked at because we found out the blessing of Abraham, the promise of the Spirit. We need to understand this. Last week, we read scriptures of Abraham's blessing. Abraham's blessing was in the natural area, but he had a promise to the future, to the nations. And that promise was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. We can read over in Hebrews and where it talks about, and in Galatians, talks about the seed. Jesus Christ, the seed. He is the seed that was Abraham's seed. In other words, the new birth. When we consider a blessing in the church, we need to understand this. The church has generally divided it up. We talk about that. They say, well, you know, he's not talking about physical blessings. He's talking about spiritual blessings. Concerning the church, he's talking about both. The blessing that Abraham walked in was in the physical material realm in the earth. And the promise to come, which is the fulfillment through Jesus Christ, the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit is this. It is the new birth, being born again. We pass from death unto life. We got born again and blessed, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:3, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So from the natural and from the spiritual, we are fully blessed people. Abraham walked in part of the blessing, but Abraham never became born again. He didn't get born again. He couldn't have. Christ hadn't died, was raised from the dead. But there was a promise to the future that He followed God and God blessed him in this life, but there was blessing, the promise of the Spirit to come was going to all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And so we have those. We need to get that within ourselves. We looked at Abraham's blessing and we need to understand those. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And this is really hugely important. I want to go over there because today we're going to go into Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. The curse, we're not going to read the curse today, but we're redeemed from the curse. And we understand this. If you are redeemed from the curse, what is left? Blessing. If I'm no longer under a curse, and we're going to eventually, it's not today, but we're eventually going to sit down and read through that whole curse. We're going to read through that whole thing and find out how ugly it really is. It is terrible, nasty. And you know what? You need to understand this. When you read the book of Revelation, book of Revelation is uglier than it reads. Because you're going to see in the book, we need to understand this. During that time period, the wrath of God is poured out in the earth. You're going to see the full curse in operation. The full curse is coming on the earth. That's why we need to preach to people, leave on the first load, get born again. Don't stay. Don't stay in this earth. Because it ain't going to be a pretty place for believers in this earth. People who decide to believe on Jesus, it ain't going to be pretty for people. It's going to be a bad place to be. We need to tell people. See, we need to invite people to leave. Now's the day of salvation. Now is. Not then. Now is the day of salvation. Now's the time to get born again. And we're coming close. We're coming close to the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we want to look at this because of this that was written in Deuteronomy. And we'll start off and we're going to see this. Now, this is concerning the law. God gave the law through Moses. And we have in Deuteronomy in the 28th chapter, it starts off, now God's going to speak. And this chapter speaks the blessing and the curse. Now, it relies upon this. It says now in the beginning, first verse, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And then he says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Lots of times when I hear people preach about these things, they just sort of let it sit at that. And we need to be very careful because we need to understand the difference. And this is one of the things is most of the time when tithing and stuff is taught, they go back under the law and teach tithing and they teach tithing. You got to tithe to be blessed. That's unscriptural. That's unscriptural. How could I be blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ if I have to tithe to be blessed? See, the Lord dealt with me about those things and about how preachers have used the law to get what they wanted. They want money out of people, so they start to... They think they don't realize they have shortchanged themselves if we teach people the truth. We're afraid the truth ain't going to work. We got to con people. I'm going to con you. You're blessed. Amen. You're blessed. Now, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. The blessing of Abraham. Now, you know, Abraham had one thing he had to do that God said to be blessed. All he had one thing he had to do. Leave the land and go to the other. That's all he had to do. That was it. Do you know there's only one thing you got to do? You got to decide you want to leave the land of sin and go to the land of God. Amen. And accept Jesus Christ. That's the one thing you had to do to be blessed. That's it. That's the one thing you had to do. You see, under the law, they had to follow all the law. We read about the law back in teaching in this subject. We looked at the law. If you're going to do the law, you got to do it all. Now, see, they had to do everything right to get blessed. See, and as Mike was talking this morning about that toiling. Oh, Christians toil. Christians toil to get blessed. Christians, instead of receiving the blessing by faith, they're trying to just do the right thing. Confession's not a joy to many Christians. It's a labor. I got to just keep saying the right thing. This is hard. I'm going to tell you what, to call myself blessed and call myself healed, to me it's no labor at all. It's wonderful. I'm just so glad I can call myself well. I can call myself rich. I can call myself sane. You know, what? Boy, that's really labor. But people labor at it. They're just trying to make confessions. They're trying. They're laboring. Why? Because they don't believe they're blessed. See, we are blessed. You are blessed. And so under this, he's talking to them about the law. For them to be blessed, they have to follow this legalistic pattern. We don't. We find out that we have been redeemed from the curse and we have the blessing of Abraham, which when we look here and find, this is Abraham's blessing. But under the law, to get the blessing, you had to do all this stuff. All these things you had to follow. And the law was a tedious, laborious thing. And its whole point was this. The law was the knowledge of the sin. It was to show you this, that you couldn't make it. It's like the Lord told me years ago, he said to me one time, he said, you know what the curse of the law is? And so I assumed I didn't know. I wanted to give an answer, but I didn't. I was smart enough to realize that he wasn't asking me because I was brilliant. And I said, Lord, I know what's going on here. You just go ahead. He said, the curse of the law is this. You can't keep it. You can't live good enough to keep the curse off of you. And you know what? In Christ Jesus, I ain't trying to keep the curse off of me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not trying to keep the curse off of me. Now, there's one thing. This is the sad part of it all is this. Most Christians never really live under the blessing, even though they have it. It's given to them. But see, they've been preached to that, well, you know, they preach against prosperity. They preach against this. They preach, well, you're living in this earth. You know, you're just going to get sick. You're just that. They preach against it. And so people can never take it by faith. You don't believe you can have it. I don't care how much it's yours. The only way that you can receive it is by faith. That's the way we get it, by faith. The just or the righteous live by faith. The blessing we take a hold of by faith. We believe it belongs to us, whether we see it, feel it, whatever it is, it belongs. We say it's ours. That's what faith, that's what living by faith is. Saying it belongs to me, whether it looks like I have it or not. See, I remember back when my Wanda and I first started off, especially in the areas of prosperity, we first started off as Christians, you know, we were just paying bills. That's what we were doing. We were just paying bills and trying to have the money to pay bills. And then there came a step of faith. God started dealing with me about giving. And I remember when I first time told Wanda about, you know, I just believe we need to start giving some money and we did this. And, you know, she looked at me like I crawled out from under a rock somewhere, you know, because this was a whole new thing. I got born again first and she got born again some months after me. And then, but anyhow, dealing with that, but we found out is doing this thing is in giving because it didn't make sense. We were trying to figure out how to just get by and here we're taking a portion of our money now and giving it away. But I'm going to tell you what, when we found out this thing worked, we got stupid. We started giving money away because we found it. Because, you know, I wanted to have more and I found out that this system that God established worked. I found out that this thing works. And so I wanted to learn about it and I asked God things about this thing and that stuff. And God did things. But number one, I had to always use my faith. We always had to use faith. You know, the first time when, you know, we're born again and we're not born again even, I don't know if it was a year we were born again and and Wanda and I, in fact, it was the night of our anniversary. And we went out and got something to eat. And all the money, we didn't have just the money I had. I think it was $87 it was I had on me. That's all we didn't have any other money. No, that was all the money we had, $87. We went to a World Communion service up in Harrisburg. At $87 to our name, nothing else. We know we have bills and stuff and things coming and that kind of stuff. And the Lord speaks to me and says, put all your money in the offering. Took an offering. He says, put all the money in. And I'm like, oh my God. And I thought, first thing that went through my mind, Wanda's going to kill me. We're going to have a funeral when this thing's over. You know, this, Well, it'd be good. There's plenty of Christians there, and there's ministers would get this thing done. Well, anyhow, so when I turned, I looked at her and I said, the Lord spoke to me and put all the money in. And now this is really what I found out is how, because you know, you're always dealing with people, how people are going to react. And I didn't know at that time because Wanda hasn't been a Christian real long. And I, you know, was a Christian and here we are and I'm telling her, God's telling me to give all the money away. And she said, well, if he told you, then put it in. My God, I know Christians have been born again, spirit filled for 30 years. And if you said that to them, they'd get mad at you. They'd say, oh, I wasn't God talking to you. He'd never say anything like that to you. Some of the worst things that ever happened to most Christians, they grew up. They got older and dumber. They've lost that joy as a young Christian. As I'm going to follow God no matter what. That's what happened to the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation. They lost their first love. Oh, they're following all the stuff, but they ain't got the joy of the Lord no more. They lost that. They got religious. They got educated, spirit Christians, you know. Now we know the Bible and we know things and we're smart. Well, anyhow, we put that money in at $87. I mean, that was a big step for us. And I'm thinking, you know, because you have this thing, you know, your mind's going on and, you know, next week we're going to need no money for this and we're going to need money for that. And I just got paid that week. And I took her out to dinner and stuff and we spent money and the money's gone. We're going home, we ain't got no money. But that week, somebody came and gave, now we didn't tell no one. See, we didn't call prayer chains and we didn't go tell people, you know, we're believing God. You know, I've never done that. I've never done that stuff, run around. I never tell anybody about personally what I need. I don't ever tell anybody personally. Anything that Wanda and I know, I don't say nothing to nobody else. I tell nobody. Because the Bible says this, if I tell God in secret, He rewards me openly. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in this faith thing telling everybody else what you need. You know, this is between me and God. Between me and Him. And I've learned that over time. And you know what? That's one of the things is getting blessed. You know, and He's always blessed us for it. You know, because number one, I want to know it's God and it's not me trying to set things up. There's a lot of ministers that don't know a thing about faith. Big name ministers don't know a thing about faith. They know about telling everybody what they want. They know about begging. They know about asking somebody for something. But they don't know much about believing God and letting Him do something. They know very little about it. They've learned how to do this, these things. And they learned how to manipulate. Use psychology on people. You know, you whine enough, they'll feel sorry for you. Because there's enough Christians out there, you know, you show them the starving kid and they'll send money and the guy who's showing the picture never gave a nickel to starving kids. But they'll send him money like crazy. And there's ministers do that stuff. But anyhow, somebody came along and gave us a check for $250. Well, you'd have thought we got a million. But you know, the big thing was, we knew God worked and God did that. And you need that in your life. So you need to come to the place where you know God is working and you haven't set something up. Amen. Because the devil will eat your lunch on those things. Say, well, you told so-and-so. And yeah, they knew about this or this. Yeah, you did that. Even God. Loads of times God has blessed but people because they haven't kept their mouth shut. They hurt themselves. I want to come to know that it is God working. That He gets the credit for it. The devil don't get to step in and mess things up. Hallelujah. See, we need to glorify God. Well, we did that at times. I mean, we went and did that again. We didn't where God didn't tell us, but we did it when the Lord called us to go to Rhema to school. And we went and looked what it was going to cost us to move and everything. And we made decisions. One of the things is most people would like go to Bible school for a couple of years. Like we got to Rhema, we found people did this. They'd have their kids, but they'd leave most of their kids' stuff, you know, where they lived before. And they would just, well, we're just going out to Rhema to school for a couple of years. But, you know, I decided, look, my kids are not going to. God's called me to sacrifice and I'll sacrifice. I'll do whatever. But you know what? My kids' stuff's going with them. They're going to go out there. They're going to know God loves them and takes care of them. And I said, I told my wife, because we were talking about leaving this, I said, nah, we're taking it all. We're going to take it all out there. All their stuff gets to go. Those kids get to take their stuff. They're making a move to this. I said, God, this is God called me to do this. And they happen to be my kids, so they're blessed. See, I was just sort of, I've always been like that. I, you know, these people, they're always trying to shortcut. And the only reason they do it, they ain't got enough faith to believe God to do it big. And they're act like, you know, they're doing something, somehow God's pleased in it. Well, I thought God would be pleased, and my kids were excited about it, and they were glad, and they were blessed. I thought that would be good. That would be God. So, you know, we looked at it and sat down and figured all that we needed to do to move. We looked at our bank accounts and said, dear God, we ain't got enough money to go nowhere. Well, sure, I mean, we had $500 in a savings account. That's what we had. We had $500 in a savings account. The truck to move, it's not fuel, was $1,200. Now, you know, you back in 1987, a whole lot different right now. $1,200 was a bunch of money back then, at that time. $1,200, you could do a lot with, you could buy really good cars. Today you can't buy a piece of junk for $1,200. You know, it's just, it was a big difference. It cost $1,200 a check plus putting gas in that thing. So that's just getting the truck out there. And we have our cars and stuff, and you have all this stuff you're moving and doing, and so, and you gotta get an apartment. You know, we have to rent an apartment out there. And so when we decided we're going to do it, we rented in a new apartment thing out there. And we went out there and saw the thing and just decided, well, we're moving the kids' stuff. So we moved in a 3-bedroom apartment. We could have figured out, done smaller. We could have, but I thought, you know, I'm just this way. If God told me to do something, I'm obeying. I expect him to take care of things. You know, he finds pleasure in it. So we rented the 3-bedroom apartment. It was a nice big apartment, but the kids, well, we needed it because we had all the kids' stuff. So they need to get it in there in that place. And you want a 2-bedroom apartment, you have boxes stacked to the ceiling the whole time you're there. So we did, we got all that stuff and we sat and looked what we needed and we just made this decision. There is no point in we trying to hang on to our money. Because it ain't going to be enough. God's going to take care of us in this thing. He said go, and I just went to him and said, you're going to have to provide for this thing. So what we did is to the church we were going to, we gave them our money. We gave them all our money. We gave all of our money away. We did it again. Now God didn't tell us to. We decided we were going to sow a seed. We just decided we need to. We need a lot of money, so I'm going to act like God's going to bless me big. This is why, I'm just telling you, this is why finances and stuff don't work for people believing for money. Because they will never make an action like God's going to bless them big. They're going to hang on to everything that they can. See, I need to keep mine, and God bless me big. Then if I have enough, then I can give something away. Well, he said, no. God's going to bless us, we're going to give this money away. You know, just think about this. I mean, John G. Lake. John G. Lake, in his day, like, he was a vice president or something of an insurance company or something like that. Anyhow, this guy was making, like, you know, $150,000, $200,000 a year way back in his day. That's like getting paid $10 million today a year. This guy was making. And John G. Lake, he had all this money. God called him to South Africa. John G. Lake lived in a big home, had money. All of it. God called him to go to Africa. And you know what John G. Lake did? Gave it all away. And said, I will not go do God's work with my money. He said, I am going to do it on God's money. He said, I'm going to believe God and let him get the glory out of this thing. And he had, I don't know what it was, like 15 people or 18 people or something with him. He's paying the bill. And God bought enough money for him to get on the ship and get to South Africa. But he didn't have enough money to get off the boat in South Africa because it required duty to get off the boat. He didn't even have that. And you had to have a house to stay in when you get there. He had no money for it. But John G. Lake and his group, they're on that boat. They go down there. Can you imagine? He gave all that money away. He gave all his money away. See, people today, that would be totally crazy. That'd be totally crazy. But I can see why God used him the way he did. Because God couldn't use other people. They didn't have enough faith to get used. We need to understand these things, folks. God puts you in positions where you can either learn how to walk by faith and you can do things. See, at first God showed me and talked to me about giving money away. But after I got mature, it was my job about how to do the money giving away. It ain't sitting around and waiting for God all the time to tell me to do something. That's baby Christianity. I know what to do. Now I know. I know what to do. Well, anyhow, John G. Lake got down there, went to get off a ship. A woman. God sends a woman. He don't know the woman. She never met him. But God told her to go down to the docks, that there was a guy coming and told him her name. And she went down there. God said she had a house. She was supposed to give him the house. Gave him the house and the money to get off the boat and gave him the house. See, God was in every step. But you know what? It required faith. It required living by what you can't see. We know very little about that today in the church world. We know very little about living. We live mostly by what we see, what we feel. We live mostly by that. See, there's number one, your faith can't grow till you identify yourself in that. Your faith can't grow. You know, I realize I got to stretch my faith further. I got to take my, if I want to go, I got to go further. If I'm happy where I'm at, I will guarantee you by next year I won't even be where I'm at. I'll be back further than I was. There's one thing as I learned about the kingdom of God, you either keep progressing or you degress. It's the way it works. Nobody stays where they're at. Hallelujah. We go further. We step further. So anyhow, you know, we did, you know, walking in those things. But walking in blessing. God is in the blessing business, folks. That's what he's doing. God wants you to walk by faith. His idea. The blessing. Abraham's blessing has been already given to you. God wants you to live like you're blessed. Quit trying to get blessed. Live and talk like you are. Talk about being blessed. See, if you get that in your mind, when you go to God in prayer, you ask, it is easy for you to believe that he will do it for you if you are a person who believes you're blessed and that he has already blessed you with that. It will be hard if you're trying to get it. It's hard when you try to get the blessing. That's hard. See, you believe you're trying to get something. This is where they used to do that. Oh, just keep confessing, just keep confessing. That was nothing but works. They weren't making confession out of joy. It belonged to them. They're trying to say it. It's like I heard a big name minister, big guy, oh, confession. Said one, after I confessed it, he said some stupid thing. Like it was 400 and some times. Then it came. And I thought, that's the biggest bunch of junk I ever heard in my life. God ain't sitting out there with a certain number and you hit this total of confession, then it works. I'm already blessed. Amen. He was supposed to believe he received it before. He believed he didn't get it till he reached that number. Hold it. That don't work that way. That's not the way it works. Man. It's like Mike said, that's toil. Dear God, that's toil. Dear God, Jesus, tell me just to throw the net over. I'll do it. Dear God, I don't want to go through this other thing. See, you will lose joy. You cannot live in rest, laboring. Faith is not called to be a labor. It should be a joy. It should be a joy to us. It should be a joy to you and I. God has blessed us. That's why as we're looking at this thing, this is something God has blessed us. It's not what we're trying to get. Understand, as we read through these, we are blessed. You know, and here's one thing is, you know, we all know backslidden Christians. We know people, Christians, that ain't living right. Now, but you understand this. You know, these blessings are just as much theirs as they are yours, even though they're not living and walking, yet it's theirs. They may not be enjoying them. They might not be enjoying the blessings of this, but nonetheless, they're theirs. It belongs to them. And what they need to see is if they'll hook up with God and they'll start hooking up with God, they can enjoy these blessings. You can't enjoy these blessings without God, without walking with Him. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. This is why you find Christians that don't stay in church and they'll say, well, I'd be a good Christian and I don't have to go to church. Well, that's a big bunch of bunk, junk and hogwash. Because you never find those people walking in the blessing. The blessing comes from following God, following God's word, doing what God's word says because it inspires your faith. You got to stay over, do whatever you can that inspires your faith. Amen. Got to keep your faith inspired. Keep your faith inspired. This is one thing, and that's why, you know, Bible, it tells us in Jude, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If you don't spend much time praying in the Spirit, you're always going to have faith problems. He said, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There's loads of things you'll never get revelation of the Word till you have prayed some things out. I know how it works. I've been lazy, and I have times not been lazy. And I found out the not been lazy times have worked well for me in the areas of praying in tongues and things. They have worked out well. And you got to learn to do this. You got to find out what things enhance you. See, there's things in the scriptures tell us. One thing, praying in other tongues. Praying in other tongues is a difficult thing for the average person to do because they live by sight, sound. They pray and don't feel like nothing's happening worth it. They're praying in tongues, well, I just don't feel anything. This don't seem like anything. It doesn't seem like anything's happening. So, you know, but see, I go, the Bible says if I'm praying in other tongues, I'm edifying myself. I don't care how I feel about it. I'm going to tell you, I have prayed already for hours on end in other tongues and have felt nothing. Do you know Friday? I spent Friday praying in tongues most of the day. Even around doing natural things I had to get done, I'm praying in tongues the whole time I'm doing this stuff. I'm taking times where I'm just sitting down and I was over praying in tongues and I was reading the Bible and praying in tongues. And I just kept this praying in tongues thing going. And by the end of the day, I was like, my tongue was thick. You know, got to give that thing a break. Drink some cold water. Maybe we can get the swelling down. I don't know. I really felt spiritual. And last night, revelation came. But it was worth it. Now, let me tell you this. When God spoke to me, it wasn't some loud voice spoke to me. It was something on the inside, still a small voice on the inside. I could have easily ignored it and not noticed it. Tongues helps you keep your mind settled down. Do you ever notice most of the time when you start off praying in tongues, you can't even think in line of anything spiritual. You're thinking about, you know, washing the car, or you're thinking about, and you're there talking in tongues, and you're thinking about this, and you're thinking about that, and you're thinking about, and see, this with people, they get over it. They won't pray till they can get their mind settled down. If you can't get your mind settled down, you ain't hearing God. And yet, most people never pray long enough to ever get their mind settled down. See, Paul said, I will pray with my understanding, in other words, with my mind, with my thinking, what I do know, what scripture I do know. He said, but I'll pray in the Spirit also. I will. It's by my own will. I don't have to wait God to move on me to pray in tongues. Paul said he prays both ways. I don't have to wait to God to move on me to pray in what I know. And I don't have to pray, wait and pray in what I don't know. See, the Spirit's my helper, he says. We don't know how to pray for things as we ought. In other words, I know to pray many times, but I don't know. You know, it's just like praying for other individuals. Lots of times I don't know exactly what a person wants. I could pray things that would be good for scripture for an individual, but it may not be specifically what they need right now. But the Holy Spirit knows. And I'll just go and I'll pray what I do know as a blessing to the person. Then I say, Holy Spirit, the Bible says I don't know to pray for things I ought, so I just want to thank you. It says you're going to help me. So I want to thank you for helping me pray for this individual. I just thank you. See, you need to learn to say these words, not just to say them. Say them. You don't know that. You know, I'm convinced of this. People don't know the power of speaking words. We don't know the power of it. Well, if we did, we'd do a lot more praying. But we don't know the power of speaking words. And I say, I want to just thank you, Holy Spirit, because you're going to help me right now pray for what I don't know, hallelujah, to help that person. And I start praying in tongues. I just start praying in tongues. See, I am speaking. Number one, I'm setting myself on a course and I am speaking words. See, I want to bring my mind and my flesh under. And you know how you bring your mind and flesh? One of the ways you do it is your voice. Most people's trouble with their flesh and with their mind is because of their mouth. Saying the wrong stuff all the time. Talking about the problems. Talking about things. Just like with our country. You ain't going to pray much for America and that stuff sitting around talking all the junk and people talk all the time about it. You're not going to do that. You're not going to pray much for America. You ain't going to do much about that. See, the more I talk, see, the more I say things like, you know, I love Joe Biden. I don't want him to go to hell. It's hard for me to hate Joe Biden. It is. It's hard. I'd have a terrible time trying to hate Joe Biden. I'd have a terrible time at it. Because I don't want him to go to hell. Because Jesus don't want him in hell. Just most of the church does. It's good preaching, isn't it? I don't want him. But you know what? See, what I've done, I have begun to say the right things and say those things till I can really pray with him with compassion. I really can. And you know what? It's not a fake thing. My heart's really compassionate toward him. Poor man, he is blind. He don't know what's going on. He don't know what's happening. He don't see his future that's coming. Man, it's a freight train, and it's about to run him down, and he don't see it. And it's an eternal. He's going to be eternally lost. See, I don't want that. I don't want that. See, we got to get compassion. See, there's a lot of things the church can't bring to pass because they don't have the compassion to bring it to pass. We want change in our nation. The only change that will come in our nation is people change. Hallelujah. See, I want my praying to make a difference. I want to make a difference for good. There's plenty of people cursing. I figured... You know, if cursing, yelling, and screaming would change anything, we would have sure had plenty of that change. But I said, it ain't done it. So Ed better start calling blessing. We start calling blessing and do that. Let's get over on the blessing thing. Praying God to bless. Hallelujah. Praying God to help. Glory to God. We don't need more tragedy in this nation. We got enough of it. Enough tragedy to go around. Now we're going to talk about, I want you to see this down in here because I want you to understand this about the blessing. The blessing is yours. It belongs to everybody. Every believer, the blessing belongs to them. You know, I want believers to know this, that the blessing is theirs. I don't care. Just think about it. When you got born again, the day you got born again, whenever it was when you got born again, all the blessing belonged to you. You were blessed with every spiritual blessing that day. That did not happen sometime down the road. That happened that day. And everybody who's born again, that blessing. You know, it must be to me as an amazing thing when people get to heaven and find out how dumb they were. You know, I think we're all going to arrive here and think something. You know, we're going to find out things that say, oh my God, I thought I was spiritual. My words, if we get done belly laughing and falling on the ground, how stupid we were. Thinking we're some kind of geniuses. But all the blessing belongs to us now, right now. Anybody who's born again. No matter what they were as a baby Christian. I mean, somebody, no matter what they did in life or how they lived, when they accepted Jesus Christ, they became a new creation and all of God's blessings belong to them. Wow. We should be running around telling people as quick as we can, and we don't. We act like this is a thing we want to let go, and as they get more mature, then we'll tell them about it. That's what the church has been doing. The church should be letting them know the day. See, I ran into Kenneth Hagin's teaching, thank God, and found out when I got born again, I was blessed. And I got blessed. I thought I was so excited. I thought people just knew about this. God sent me to a church of people, and they've been born again for 34 years, and they didn't know it. And they were spirit-filled people. They didn't know they were blessed. They were all trying to get blessed. They didn't know they were. And when I came along talking this stuff, man, they wanted to put me under a rock someplace. Something's wrong. He'll find out. Hallelujah. Well, now listen to this. I love the part verse 2 says, now, if they went and did what the law said, now we found out you did this, Now listen what it says. Now you need to get this. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. The blessing is to overtake you. Now understand, this stuff all works by faith. See, we need to preach this so people believe that the blessing overtakes you. You see, when I found it out, see, I used to always say, I'm blessed coming in and going out. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above it. The blessing of the Lord. I say to people all the time, if I needed money and there was nobody in the United States wanted to give me any money, I said, God will send some guy from another country out somewhere halfway around the world and send him to me to give me money. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm blessed. Amen. And it overtakes me. You know, these people, well, we're going away something, we're driving our car, we're going to go, we're going to ask God to bless us. Why are you asking God? Why don't you confess your blessing? I'm driving that, it's going to go well with me. Confess your blessing. I'm blessed coming in and going out. No, we're going to ask God to bless us. Well, are you going to wait long enough to hear if he's going to do it? Well, he is. I mean, if you're asking him, well, maybe he said no. Well, see, I know he's already said yes. I read the book. So I'm going to be blessed. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be cursed. I'm going to be blessed. That's what I'm going to do. I don't know what anybody else is going to do, but I'm going to be blessed. See, talk the blessing. Talk the blessing on you. See, learn to do that. Hallelujah. See, just like Abraham obeyed the one thing God, did Abraham try to get rich in the other land? All he did was obey, he went. All you did was obey and receive Christ. Amen. Is it different for you? Well, the church has acted like it, hasn't it? Generally, the church has acted like you had to work to get this. This is something we're... No, it isn't. It overtakes you. Amen. The church is overtaken with blessing. But see, the reason things haven't worked, we haven't believed. We went to the land. Either people weren't told they were going to be blessed, or they didn't believe we were going to be blessed. We're just going to be like everybody else. They've had no faith for the blessing. Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteous. Abraham believed if he went that land, God was going to bless him and make him a blessing. He believed it. Now, this is shameful. Abraham wasn't born again and he believed it. What does that say for Christians today? Born again and can't believe for the blessing. How sad. I mean, that's sad. I'm not saying to ridicule. It's sad. We should be the easiest on the believing part. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. See, what's going on in this earth and what's happening? I'm blessed. Amen. What's happened? See, get yourself into that where you talk about the blessing of the Lord. How can we be a blessing if we're not blessed? You can't. We need, we're in desperate need of blessed people who can bless. Amen. We don't need a criticizing church running, trying to run the world down, running everything down and what's going on. We need a blessing. We're blessed and we're blessing. We're bringing blessing. Where there's curse in this nation, we bring blessing. Hallelujah. Because I found this out. If you walk and stay on the blessing side, you'll keep your joy. Amen. You will not keep your joy focusing on the other side. It won't. You can't focus on the negative junk and stuff. You can't. It just eats away at you. I mean, the next thing you know, you want to be judge and jury, and you want to get, you know, a tree to just carry around someplace and a rope that you can hang people. I know none of you ever thought about that at all. You wanted to be the judge and jury. But it says, now listen to this. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. So in other words, wherever you're at, blessed you're going to be. Well, are you blessed? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whether you're in the country, whether you're in the city, no matter where you're at, you're blessed. Gee, what if we started believing this stuff? Wouldn't that really be something? My God. I think I'll go over here while I'm so blessed. I think I'll go over here and be blessed. Hey, let's get out over there and go get blessed. Some. What do you think? Let's get blessed. Wherever we go, we're blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Now listen. He goes on to say, blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Concerning you, now the fruit of your body, that's your children. Now, we're gonna talk a little bit about that then when we go, but I'm gonna read through these. God emphasized some things and I wanna go back and talk about that. The produce of your ground and the increase of your herds and the increase of your cattle, your offspring and your flocks. Now we need to understand, they were an agricultural society. When this is said, you know, Israel's coming out of Egypt, they're going to agriculture. They didn't have many factories. They didn't build many cars. They didn't build in all kind of stuff we do today. So he's talking about, in other words, their lives, but as us today, we can talk in the same manner. The things that we're doing, we're blessed in. We would be blessed in, just like with them. Now, if you're a farmer, you can guarantee. See, any farmer turn, man, I hear farmers all the time, they tell me it's hard being a farmer. They ought to get saved and get under the blessing. That's their problem. See, we shouldn't have all this stuff going on today and all these things happening, people talking about it. Bless you, your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Hallelujah. See, when I went home last night, I was blessed. When I got this morning and left, I'm blessed. Amen. See, it doesn't matter if I feel blessed. I'm blessed. See, you get on, I'm blessed. Coming in, going out. It don't matter. I'm blessed. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee from you seven ways. See, the people coming, things that come against you. All these fighters are always trying to fight everybody and everything and all this stuff going on. It said, the Lord will cause your enemies. Hallelujah. See, you live like you're blessed. God can take care of your enemies. If you live like you're cursed, I'm going to tell you, the devil will own your lunch. It's his. It belongs to him. And your enemies will succeed and overrun you. Live like you're blessed. It says, the Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouse, on your bank account. That's it. Look at that. It said, the Lord will command the blessing. Now, I want you to say this. Now, from them, they were dealing with the law, but under us, he didn't say, now, if you give your money, then you're going to get blessed. He said, God will command a blessing. See, we need to understand this. The church is not supposed to give money to get money. The church is blessed. We give money because we love. We are blessed. God, we know money's got, money will always come to me. Money will always come to me. See, you need to get that in your mind. You need to start to say that. Money comes to me. Now people say, well, you know, today, money's hard to get. Yeah, go ahead, keep saying it. After a while, your wallet will be so tight, dear God, you won't have nothing. You couldn't even squeeze a dollar in that thing, much less get one out. Hallelujah. We're blessed. God commanded a blessing. Now, if God commanded a blessing, you think it'll work? Is there a chance it would work? You know, I'll never forget Wanda and I standing when the Lord talked to us about believing for certain things, and I'll never forget. God commanded a blessing. And so he was teaching me on this thing. He commanded a blessing. You know, and I was down at Gatlinburg, of Randy Greer meetings, and I get a call on my phone, and I answer the phone, and it's an attorney on there telling me that, you know, there's some money that's coming my way that he wanted to let me know that this wasn't a fake thing going on, that we're money, you know. And so Wanda and I had $186,000 given to us, you know. But the whole thing of it is we've had over time of things that we have had happen like that. You know, it isn't things we're searching for, but money comes to us. It comes. And I just want you to know this. There's larger amounts than that are coming to me. They're already on their way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why? Because money comes to me. God commanded the blessing. I am not opening my stupid mouth and stopping it. I'm not going to sit and yell with this bunch. The economy's going to go under, and boy, we're going to be hurting, and we're not going to be able to get nothing. And we're just, rah, 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 rah. Oh my God, the inflation is going to get so bad. My God. After a while, man, you'll want to commit suicide. You won't believe Jesus is big enough to do a thing. He'll be this little weeny thing. You'll put one of those little statues in your car. Little weeny thing of Jesus in there, you know, with a bobblehead. He'll bounce around and you'll talk about how bad things are. And you'll have a bobblehead Jesus on a bobblehead cross, you know, sitting there, hey, he's dead, you know. We can't do anything. Jesus is still on the cross to most of the church. He done died, that's it. We're finished now. I'm sorry, he's on a throne. Hallelujah. He ain't on the cross no more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I ain't got a cross religion. I got a throne religion. Amen. Hallelujah. He's on the throne, he ain't on the cross. If they don't soon get him off the cross, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we just love this cross religion. Death. Boy, we love the death. Hallelujah. Well, that's good preaching anyhow. Glory to God. God commands a blessing on your storehouse and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. He's going to bless your hand, whatever you put your hand to. The scripture says that. He'll bless anything you put your hand to. Glory to God. He commanded it. Gee, I wonder if maybe we ought to pray and ask God if he'll bless us. Why don't we just get up and shout and say, thank you, Lord, for commanding the blessing on me. Glory to God. It's a working. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep his commandments and the Lord, of your Lord God and walk in his ways. But he established you as a holy people. He's established us as a holy people. He's done that in Christ Jesus. He's established. Let's think about it. He will establish you. God, the good work he started in you, he'll bring to completion. Glory to God. These are things that he's established. This is the blessing. I'm not backsliding. I believe in the blessing. Hallelujah. I believe in God establishing me. I believe, and I've said this for years, the good work he started in me, he's bringing it to completion.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm getting better, not worse. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, sometimes I thought I was getting worse, but I would not say it.
Amen.
I didn't say it. Hallelujah. I just kept saying what the Word says. I'm getting better. Glory to God. He's established me. He commanded it. Glory to God. Then all the people of the earth, listen, all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord and shall be afraid of you. See, I remember years ago in a church world where people spoke reverently of the church, but not this filthy church world today. And they have no respect for it, and it's only the church. Oh, I'm sick of these ministers griping and moaning about what the government's trying to do to the church. The only reason he's trying to do it to the church is because of them. They're sitting around yelling about their freedom. If they spent more time with God and became more godly, I'm going to tell you, just like with Israel, the nations around, their fear would fall on them. And I'm going to tell you, there's a fear coming. There is a people rising up, and a fear will come concerning those people. Oh, much of the church, nobody will be afraid of nothing. Because they're a nothing. They decide to be a nothing. It's being a holy people. When we decide we're going to what? We're going to be the holy people. We're the ones going to be set apart. We're going to let God set us apart, carry out his will, carry out his purpose. We're going to declare him, exalt him.
Hallelujah.
And they're going to know something. Hallelujah. Then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be good news? See, that's what we need in our nation. See, we don't have that in the church. They're so busy fighting political wars and that stuff, the ministries and doing stuff. They've got to stop this stuff. They've got to stop this stuff. That isn't how it's done. Glory to God. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. Hallelujah. Seems like your ship will make it to the dock. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. Glory to God. You're going to have plenty of goods. Glory to God. In the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you, the Lord will open to you the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to you and your land in the season and to bless the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You see, we can, you know, really, we need to understand all this we have going on financially, our nation, it's the curse. It's the curse. The curse is in operation. The curse is going. This enormous debt, it's a curse. God wants a nation of people. Now don't turn around and get mad at our leaders. It's because of the church. See, the church don't preach the truth. They don't tell people. The church don't even know they're supposed to be blessed. They think, you know, they're supposed to get run over by a truck too. They don't know. You know, they think, you know, if God blesses you too much or something wrong with you, you must be with the devil. He said, the Lord will make you the head. Now listen, the Lord will make you. The Lord will make you the head. The Lord will make you the head. You don't make you the head. The Lord will do it. Hallelujah. He'll make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, and which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. See, under the law, for them to be blessed, they had to do it all. We have to believe that we are blessed. We believe. See, the blessing of Abraham's on us. We have it. We have the blessing. It's not something we're trying to round up and get. Let me share this, because I want to talk to you, and you folks have heard me talk about this before numbers of times. But God has really put on my heart when I was praying about these things is dealing with the fruit of your body. Because this is one of the things, because of people not understanding scripture, understanding authority, people don't study in these areas. People don't know where they stand. And see, it's dealing with the blessing. Especially dealing, people need to learn their authority concerning their families and things, where their authority lies and what they can do and what they can't. People don't know. People just generally, when it comes to their family, it's pretty much a mess. I mean, you know, we want our family saved. We don't know what it is. Lots of times people waste their time and they're praying because they're praying more out of worry of the problems and things that are going on. They're not praying by faith to begin with. There's one thing is dealing with these areas. See, I was always prone to this thing here to wonder what was going on. As a young Christian, this happened to me because I wasn't even saved a year when this took place. In fact, I'd only been saved a couple months. And you've heard me tell this story before. There was a young man who was 19 years old who died, who was in a Christian family, and he was unsaved. And he went to hell. And this just floored me. Because, I just thought about you. You're a parent. And they were supposed to be, they're Christians. And their son never accepted Christ and died and went to hell. Now, I don't know about you. That really grabbed me. I mean, to me, it was almost like somebody punched you in the gut. I mean, it just, inside of me, it was like, how on earth? So, you know, see, I was always the guy who would ask questions. So, see, if you want revelation, ask questions. So I did. I went to the Lord. And I'll never forget, it was on a Saturday. I was in my bedroom at 321 Canal Street. There we go. And I was there walking around in the bedroom, and I was praying, and I talked to the Lord about this. I said, Lord, this just grabbed me. I said, Lord, this young man dies. He goes off to hell. And I said, you know, the parents are going to live out their days in this earth knowing they're never going to see him again. You're living with that. That's got to be a hard thing. You know? This is he went to jail for a few years. This is eternal damnation. The church believes very little about that today. Eternal damnation. The church would sure be a different group of people if they ever believed there was eternal damnation. They'd sure think a whole lot different. But anyhow, I was standing. I just said, to the Lord, I said, Lord, this is an awful, terrible thing. I said, I can't imagine going through that. And I said, Lord, see, my wife wasn't saved at the time. And I have two little kids. And Elena had just been born. I was born again in January. And in March, Elena was just born in March, mid-March. And so I have Alyssa and we have Elena, and Wanda's not saved. And I said, Lord, if my wife and kids don't go to heaven, I said, I don't know if I want to go. I was sincere. I thought, my God. Is there any gain? You know, I never knew about it till later on. When Paul wrote, Paul was the same way about the Jews. He said, I'd go to hell if I could get my Jewish brothers to go to accept Christ. And when I read Paul about Paul doing that, I thought, I know how Paul felt. Because I thought, if my wife and kids aren't going to make it to heaven, I don't know if I want to be there. I didn't know if I wanted to. And so, see, I'm talking to the Lord. I'm asking the Lord about this. And I'm saying this, and I'm talking, and I'll never forget, I was facing down at the foot of the bed and facing one of the windows looking out, and all of a sudden a voice came over my right-hand shoulder. I would have thought somebody was in the room at the time. It seemed to me it was an audible voice. I don't think it was probably audible, but it seemed to me. I found out later on, because I've had a number of times I have had that happen, and Kenneth Hagin said about lots of times in the prophet's ministry, when the voice of the Lord comes audible, it comes over your right-hand shoulder. Say, why? Well, I ain't got a clue. But I've had that happen, come over my right-hand shoulder on occasion. Folks, that's not a lot. Don't get over in that thing and waiting for a voice to talk over your shoulder. 99% of the time God talks to me, it's on the inside, still small voice talking. That's where he's talking from. But anyhow, this voice just said to me, go read the 128th Psalm. The 128th Psalm. And I'll never forget, because I heard the voice, I turned around and looked, and there's nobody there. Over at that side of the bed, I had set my Bible over there. And when he said, go read the 128th Psalm, I'll never forget, this went through my mind. Is there 128 Psalms? I didn't even know. I didn't know if there was. I mean, I'm a new Christian. I never went through the thing about how many, you know, chapters are in different things and stuff. And so I walked over and I paged through it till I got through it. And really, the Lord dealt with me the first four verses. And I want to read these to you because we want to talk about, because of Revelation. And this is one of the things that's dealing with this. What I'm telling you here became a revelation to me. God spoke to me about it, but I've took these things and meditated on them. They became real to me. They must become real to you. They're not going to work just because you hear me say about it. These things, get it in you till you become so satisfied that God will move for you. Now, the chapters, the 128th Psalm says in first verse, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Was it blessed? Fears the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you're blessed. Hallelujah. I fear the Lord. I'm blessed. Glory to God. He said, now listen. Now there's qualifications about this. Who walks in his ways? He said, when you eat the labor of your hands. See, walking in the ways of the Lord brings blessing. It's blessing. Walking in the ways of the Lord. Now listen. On here. You shall be happy. And it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, and your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. And I'll never forget, I read those scriptures, and I stood there and I read them, and those first four scriptures, and when I read those scriptures, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, if you do what I tell you to do, he said, I'll guarantee you your family. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. God could not guarantee me my family because, well, just, this is special ed. Look, folks. See, this, no, hey, there's times I've taught and said these things and people, they get over and they say, well, God did that for a purpose for you. They miss the whole point. God's no respecter of person. 128 Psalms in the book for everybody. Amen. This is for everybody. God said, so I knew this, I knew this. Now, we're not talking, you know, people who have loved ones die and, you know, not saved. Lots of times it is because of ignorance of the Word. They don't know. Nobody has ever told them the truth about the Word. They go to churches. They don't read the Bible for themselves. You know, when I had this happen, now I'm only born again a few months. If I can get a hold of God in a few months, there's a lot of Christians going to stand before God and be in a lot of trouble. Stand before the judgment seat of Christ because of their laziness. Not taking the time to find out. You ain't going to blame all the preachers for not telling you. I thank God for the wonderful teachers and ministers of the Word of God who have helped me out. But there's a ton of things that I've learned on my own. Later found out by others, they knew that it was there too, but I didn't hear them teach it. I found out. People are just sitting around. They're lazy. They're waiting for something. They're waiting for television. They're waiting for online. Somebody to give them. They're nothing. And it's a laziness. It's a socialism. You know, somebody else, your job, take care of me. You know, my spiritual life's in my hands. It's given to me. Hallelujah. I'm taking responsibility for it. Hallelujah. Because I found out it's a huge blessing doing it. Taking responsibility for it. And especially dealing in this area. When the Lord said, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said to me again, and I heard this very clearly. He said, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. And when He said that, I knew some things immediately. I needed to listen to Him. I knew my job was going to be this. My job is to find out what God wants me to do with my life. Follow that. If I follow what God tells me to do and follow what He says, He'll take care of my family. Now, He didn't say, Ed, you follow your family and what your family wants. And you find a good family church. I'll tell you, family churches lots of times ain't good churches. Because they teach you to follow your family and not God. You know what Jesus said His house was supposed to be? Did He say it's supposed to be a family house? It's supposed to be a house of prayer. People are supposed to seek God and find out about God. He didn't say, it's just a worship house. It's just a this house. It's a word house. No, He said it's a house of prayer. Hallelujah. People in communication with God. And one thing is I found out, my job was to find out what God wanted me to do. And if I do it, He was going to bless my family. Well, you know, to me, that was a new revelation. I didn't know that was like, I had nobody say anything like that before. I didn't hear anything like that. But I have found out over time, that revelation has been correct. If you look at the blessing and everything deals on the fact of God blessing us in the fruit of our body. You see, what our whole thing is, we need to, just like Abraham, God said to Abraham, you go, you do what I tell you to do, and you're going to be blessed. The blessing is going to follow. You're going to be blessed. The nations are going to be blessed. We go and we do what God tells us to do. We need to find out in our lives. Especially, let me say this, number one, I learned this, God taught me this. Men, if you're married, you're the head of the family, it's time to stand up and be the head of the family, the wife is not. This is not about somebody getting their say. This is about an order of authority that brings blessing. That is out of order. In America, we have all this stuff in His teaching, we have very little on the areas, number one, most Christian men are not submitted to God, and most women are not submitted to their husband. It's good preaching. It's great preaching. See, my number one job was this, not to be submitted to my wife. My number one job was to be submitted to God. God was number one with me. The first thing the church tried to get me to do is not spend so much time with God and said, you need to spend more time with your family. It's the first thing He did to me. You spend too much time with God. You spend too much time. You need to spend more time with your family. I went to God about it. See, I'm a question. I said, see, the preacher, and if you see this, we got to get him to do what we do, because our kids live like hell. We want to get their kids living like hell too. Your kids will love you if you spend more time with them. That's the biggest lie that's ever been told on the face of the earth. You spend a lot of time with your kids, they're going to like you. I spent a lot of time with God till my kids could put up with me. See, I went to God about this because, see, I'm interested. I want to know. I can stand here as an authority because I have proved it out. I have proved this thing works. I went to God about it. I said, Lord, they're telling me that I'm supposed to spend more time with my family, more time with your wife. And the Lord spoke to me. And this is one of these things. Again, I just got there. Ask and you shall receive. And I asked the Lord, Lord, there's what they're telling me. What am I supposed to do? And the Lord speaks to me and says, you don't need to be spending more time with your wife. You don't know how to act anyhow. And he was right. See, I'm just growing up. I'm just growing up spiritually. One of the things that I found out, and he talked to me about this later on, Wanda had to learn to trust me. So, really, Wanda learned to trust me through my relationship with the Lord. She learned it. She learned I'd come, she would, you know, God would tell me to do things. I would go tell her, the Lord told me to do this or that, and she would see it, and it'd work. She started to see, hey, he's not just doing his own thing. See, I'm going to tell you, most guys don't have any, wives don't have any confidence in their husband because they don't hear God enough to bear witness with the wife that they're hearing from God. You need to hear from God. God wants to build a confidence in relationship between husbands and wives. My wife's job is not to try to direct me and tell me what to do. That's God's job. Submission is not agreement. All we have to do is, today we have agreement on that. People want to agree. I want to have my say. I'm sorry. Then you know, there's things that I've had. God didn't give me a bit of say at all. He told me just to do, and I questioned it, and He just basically kindly told me to shut up and go do it. To learn authority. Learn to submit to an authority. See, I didn't want to because I'm in the area. I'm willing to agree to what I understand. But see, sometimes faith, you gotta go and you just don't understand, but you gotta go do it. You know, the Word says it. It's like one time as the Lord told me to do a certain things, and I said, I want you to talk to Wanda about that because she ain't gonna be happy about this. And He said, you're not gonna do what I tell you if she don't like it? Ooh. I thought, she gets mad at me or God mad at me. Oh, I think I'm going with the God thing. We're going to do what He wants. I don't think I want God mad at me. Well, then turn around, she can get mad about it anyhow. But see, you go through those things. You go through those things. But see, it's obeying the Lord. You know? I mean, that doesn't mean, you know, I make all the decisions. Wanda, don't, if you're a good decision maker, you know, if she can make better decisions than me in an area, then let her make them. See, that's being a good leader. A man's not a good leader if he can't do things right and he don't have the sense to give the authority to somebody that can. Amen. He's pretty stupid. But see, one thing is you have over time, it's like Wanda and I have learned about many things over time, where really we're on the same page about things. Because spiritually we understand. So it isn't a matter of somebody trying to, you know, you're not trying to do that. But you're going to have to grow up. You're going to have to grow up spiritually. And most people don't. Most people just grow up naturally. They want to have a natural marriage like most people have. It's not a spiritual way. People ain't hearing from God. We're just doing nice things. We're being nice. But there's one thing about it. Your kids can end up in hell in those nice marriages. And see, this stuff works. I'll guarantee you that. I'm just going to tell you this. I will bet anybody, if as a betting man, we're going to put money down, I would bet any amount of money that I probably spend less time specifically praying about my family stuff than probably 99% of Christians do. And have had 99% less problems than most Christians do in their families. Because it is what I do is more important than me just praying all that. I can pray about that. It's what I do. You know what I focus on? God, I do this. Lord, you told me you were going to take care of my family. You're going to take care of this thing. It's all going to, if I do what you say, my whole thing is to find out what am I supposed to do. Oh, if Christians would spend the time to find out what they're supposed to do. They're always praying about what everybody else and everything else ought to do of what they see. Now, what do I do? Because of this walking and following God, I'll never forget the night that was in 1983. I was planning. In fact, it was in June of 1983. And this was in 321 Canal Street. I was downstairs. All the lights out. I'm praying in the living room. Wanda and Emma are in bed. And I was praying about a thing because the Lord spoke to me about going to out to Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting at that time. It was held in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the convention center. Told me to go to it. And I was praying about going there. And the Lord had spoken to me and told me that I was going to receive an anointing when I went out there. I was going to get an anointing was going to come on me. He didn't tell me much about things about it and that stuff. And it was very interesting because he told me I was going to go out there. And I didn't really have money to go out there or anything like that. He told me to go and I said I was going. And But I hadn't gone anything to buy an airline ticket or nothing not to go. And he said to go. I said, well, you're going to provide for this thing. You're going to... See, I always thought if the Lord told you to do something, He should give you the money to do it. You know, I worked for H.B. Reese Candy Company. When they told me they wanted me to do something, they always paid for it. They never made me pay for it to do what they wanted. And this was about me getting an anointing working for him. So I just sort of assumed, well, a guy called me, and God had a guy turn around and call me and said, Lord told me to take you out to camp meeting this year, and I'm paying for it going out. I said, I don't doubt it. Hallelujah. God probably did that. You heard from heaven. Hallelujah. And he took me out there. But anyhow, I was out praying, minding my own business. My whole thing was going through the things of, though, is for, I want to do the will of God. And this was a lot what I was praying about. God was dealing with me about the anointing and that stuff. And God, because I want to know, Lord, what do you, is there anything specifically you want me to do? And I said, my whole thing is to follow whatever God wants. I'll never forget this. I'm in the middle of praying this. I'm not thinking about anything from a personal standpoint. I'm just talking to the Lord about what His will and plan is for me. If I want to go do this, you know, I don't want to get over in my thinking and my ideas about stuff. I want to do His will. And just as clear, it was one of those things, just as clear, rose up inside my spirit. And the Lord spoke to me and said, because you have done what I've told you to do and you've walked like I've told you to walk, I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters into the kingdom. See, this walking in the way of the Lord. Well, see, I found out over time then of listening to Kenneth Hagin, that's exactly what God did to him. He followed God and God blessed his family. And I'll tell you what, some of them was a hard time getting them blessed, but God did it because he walked right. And God blessed them. God blessed his grandkids. And boy, they had some, if you'd have thought, he never worried a lick about it, but there were some messes went on and stuff, but he never worried about it. But God got them all in. But see, it's the whole thing. Following the Lord. See, that's with King, that's one thing. You look at the Old Testament. Go back and look at David. All the mess of all the things. But God can bring things and bring order to things. And we need follow, you get out of line, get back in order. See, that's the big thing is, am I following God? Most people spend all their time praying, trying to get God to get everybody else straight and all this stuff straight. Say, no, the biggest thing that I can do is get me straight. The greatest blessing for my wife and my children and my offspring are me following and walking with God. That's the number one thing. It's me. You see, it's just like with Wanda. She has to have her relationship with God. It's not me. My job ain't try to fix everything with her and her relationship. My job ain't try to, Wanda knows how to believe God. I can't believe God for her for everything. She has to believe God too. But you know what? If she has a husband that knows how to believe God, sure makes it a big difference. If she has a leader. And a family is designed to have a leader. We don't have them today. Our society is trying to make everybody equal. No, we're not. We're not equal in leadership. Amen. If you don't want a leader, ladies, stay out of the marriage thing. Amen. If you don't want a leader, stay out of it. It's not the place to be. Because there must be a leader. Don't do things to hinder. You want to do things to help. And I'm just going to say that. It's over dealing with the women's side of it and stuff. You know, you need to let God work with him and deal with him. You keep trying to deal with it and you'll mess things up so bad. It's not your job to be his head. And let God deal with him. See, I learned a lot of things that even God deal with me concerning Wanda. When I first got born again, God would deal with me about things. Let him deal with her. I learned let God deal with her about things. There's things comes up with her. God needs to deal. She needs to know that God's dealing with her. But see, it's going to require you to hear from God to know when those things are and when there's time. And if you don't, things get messed up. Learning to know, wives, when to say something and when not to, let God deal with them. I'm going to tell you, God will go a lot further with them than you will, because you ain't God. They aren't answerable to you and everything. But when they know God's dealt with them, that's another story. See, this is one thing God dealt with me. He wanted to deal with me personally. And boy, he did. He dealt with me. But see, it was one of the wonderful things because I learned to know God personally. God dealing with me. See, we always want God to deal with everybody else. I found out he had a hands full with me. I didn't know how he'd have time for you guys. He was so busy working on me. And you need to know that. And see, if people fall in line with what the Bible says, it works. There's one thing you never quit, is loving one another. Amen. See, just trying to dominate and rule. My job is not to dominate and rule over one. That's not what it is. It's not to do that. You know, God don't do that. You know, even so, I mean, just think about it. God allows us to make our own decisions. You know, and sometimes you got to let people do decisions. Even when it's going to hurt them bad. Say, go ahead and do it. Adios. But there's one thing, we got to walk in love. We don't get to shoot them. We got to walk in love with them. And so we need to understand that. It's walking his thing. But I tell you what, if this number one, the Bible tells us the man is supposed to be, Christ is his head. The woman, the scripture tells us, Paul writes it, is supposed to submit to the husband just as he submits to Christ. She's supposed to submit to her husband as if he's the head or as if he's Christ. Oy. Well, I don't know if I want to go that far. Could we get another translation, please? No, in other words, no, what he's talking about, it doesn't mean the woman ignores the Bible, but what it's talking about, it is a submission to a leader. You know, God taught me when I worked at Reese's during his time period about submission to authority. When somebody was in authority over something, is learning that people sometimes, like I was in a leadership position, but I had others over me in leadership. And my leaders, I had to learn this, that they made decisions sometimes. I don't care. I even knew that they'd be wrong decisions. They would not work. But they wanted to make the decision and go. And I had to learn to let them make their decision, carry out what they wanted, because they needed to learn for themselves by not listening. They need to learn. Sometimes you got to let people go and learn things. You know, God doesn't intend we learn things the hard way, but sometimes one thing, I'm just amazed how many people don't learn even doing it the hard way. I'm amazed they do things that don't work and then do it again. And repeat it 20 more times. Never works. But is what we do is realize as leaders is doing things. This is one thing that we need to be very careful about with our president and that stuff like things. We might not agree, but we need to be very careful the comments that we make about him. See, the church don't. Do you know, we have in the Bible tells us, it said the angel concerning Satan wouldn't even make an accusation against him. He said to him, the Lord rebukes you. The angel wouldn't even say to Lucifer, wouldn't say to Lucifer. See, there's a respect shown concerning authority. We don't have that today. There's many things that are said and things put out about our leaders that are said the church should never be making a statement of. Watch what you call the president and say about him and do. Our words are working. You can't be belittling him and praying for him and really think that it's going to be working. Folks, these are important things. These are hugely important things. Our words are coming to pass. We're helping him be destroyed. See, it would be no difference if a husband or wife in the same manner speak against the other one all the time saying something. It's no different. You don't speak against an authority. We don't understand it. Just, it says in the Bible concerning ministers, it says don't bring an accusation against a minister. Wow, without two or three witnesses. You don't go around saying stuff. Ooh. Things you don't say against leaders. See, we ignore all that stuff in the Bible and we expect faith to work. It don't. This is good preaching, folks. We need to understand these things. We need a move of God. And we need to know how to speak blessing. Like James said, You can't have salt water and fresh water coming out of the same fountain. You can't be speaking, God bless and help that man, and then run him down on the other side and calling him names and doing stuff and things. He's in an office. Whether or not he handles that office right, he stands in judgment for that. I don't. I don't stand. But I will stand in judgment for hindering him in that office. Many Christians are going to stand before Jesus Christ and be shocked of what they're going to be accused of and found guilty of. What they did when they were in the flesh. This freedom of speech ain't near what it's cracked up to be. They act like this is such a wonderful thing to say what you want to say. No, it's not. I have freedom to bless. I got freedom to bless. I don't have freedom to just run around to curse. I don't have freedom to just run around and ridicule. I don't have no freedom to that. The Bible gives me none. I don't care what. I'm not fighting for the freedom they want to have in the Constitution. I think that our founding fathers were much more spiritual people than most of our ministers are today. I think they had greater respect for things than we do today. And you know what? We can learn. Hallelujah. Let's pick up on these things ourselves. Let's fall in line. Let's hook up with the blessing. Learn to stand. Speak. And let me just say this concerning whether you're dealing with your children. You know, some people, you know, have, you know, raised their kids from little as Christians, maybe, and sometimes really didn't know a whole lot about things, you know, didn't know a whole lot about the Word and stuff. Some do, some don't. And on the other hand, some people get saved and their kids were already older when they get saved and they start following God. But there's one thing is you need to understand is walking. It's one of the things is being a blessing and is doing this. That don't mean you have to, you're not, it doesn't matter agreeing what they're doing and hanging out with what they're doing or that, but you speak right concerning them. You talk right. You don't walk around talking, if they keep doing this, they're going to end up in jail. If they keep doing that, you know, staying those kind of things. Well, if this happens, they're going to have this. Learn to talk and bless. Pray, ask God. That's your offspring. You talk to God about your offspring and what the Bible says and let God speak to you. You know, I often love the story that helped me when I was first got born again. Kenneth Hagin told a wonderful story about a woman who came to him at a meeting one time and said to him, at the end of the meeting, she said, I want you to make a promise to do something for me. And he said, well, I ain't going to make a promise to do something for you unless I know what it is and whether I'd go along with it. And she said, well, I want you to promise that you'd pray for my son every day. And he said, I ain't going to pray for your son every day. He said, I might not remember every day to pray for him. He said, I'll never, you know, such a thing. He said, Lord knows all the things to pray for. Your son can't be the top of the list on everything to do. See, some people, they get over in this kind of thing. Now, some people think that sounds spiritual to do such a thing. It ain't, you know. I've had Christians walk up and ask me to pray for them. And you pray for me. And I, you know, boy, you ever think about it, you pray for me. I said, I probably won't think of you very often. I know you very well who you are or what. You know, it's just like, you know, that getting somebody else to pray. Because I know this, most people do that, don't pray themselves. What they're doing is looking for somebody else to pray for them, try to change things they can't get changed. So, but anyhow, so Kenneth Hagin, you know, he gets a word from the Lord, but he talks to this lady. He said, well, what about your son? And she said, well, my son, you know, and she said, he's out running. I said, 15 years old, but she said, her husband had died. And she said, I just can't handle him. And he's out running. She got saved and he wasn't really born into a Christian home. And so he's living a bad life, running around, and she's just, you know, doing all this. And, Kenneth Hagin looked at her and said, cause the Spirit of the Lord gave him a word, and he said, it wouldn't do me any good to pray for your son because you'll destroy everything I'll pray for him. Well, as you know, that really cheered her right up. I mean, he said, all you ever do, he said, is when you're out, when he's out running around, he said, you lay in bed at night saying, oh, I know he's going to get in trouble. I know this and that. And he's going to end up in jail and blah, 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 blah. And all, she said, how do you know that? He said, God told me. And he said, every time when he is home at the table, you're always preaching at him and doing all. She said, you just go on and on and on and, you know, saying all kind of stuff. And Kenneth Hagin, he said, will you do, he said, what I tell you to do? And she said, well, I don't know. She said, you know, if it's easy or hard. He said, well, it ain't going to be easy. Because, see, she had set herself in a pattern of doing things wrong, and she had gotten really good at it. But he told her this, said, number one, let him alone. Don't talk to him about church and about, let it alone. Don't talk to him. Don't say a thing. But she told him, when you pray for him, said, you pray for him, you pray blessing concerning him. She said, and she said, when you talk, you never talk about him going to prison. You don't ever say those words. You don't ever. And he said, you got to quit worrying. See, worry's a sin. Amen. Worry is sinning. Worry is a sign of unbelief. That's what it is. It's we don't trust God. And everybody has to be, all of us have tried to stand in faith. And you know what? I've had wonderful opportunities to worry. I've had over time wonderful opportunities to worry about. And boy, sometimes you can just fight trying to keep something away because it keeps coming back to your mind. And you're there, no, we ain't taking that one back. No, that's not mine. And you fight in that fight over there. I mean, you get over into there. I went to bed at night and everything's just absolutely fine. And all of a sudden something was a problem that I had. All of a sudden, just like I come to mind, and I think, what is this thing coming to me for now? You know, I wasn't worried. But it wants to come on. It just wants to start, just like a recording running, you know. And hold it. I refuse to worry. No, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to trust the Lord. Glory to God. And you go off to sleep and all of a sudden you wake up and there you are. It's right back there running. See, would somebody turn that recorder off, please? You go through those things. And he said, you're going to have to, and he said, when those thoughts come to you, you got to speak against those thoughts. You have to learn to say things against those thoughts, dealing with those. But it turned out what it is, he saw her, I think it was like a year and a half or something later. He was holding a meeting someplace else and she came up to him and he said, she told him who she was and he said, you know what he said? She had changed so much that he would not have recognized her. She looked so different. And she said, remember I was so-and-so, and she told her, he goes, oh yeah. He said, well, what took place? She said, well, she said it went along. She said for, 6-8 months, and we was going by, and she said, nothing changes. She said, all of a sudden, she said, one Sunday morning, he had been out real late at night running around. She said, I knew he got home at really late hours. I heard him come in and she said, I was eating breakfast Sunday morning, getting ready for church. And he got up and he come in. He said, Mom, I'm going to church with you. Amen. And she said, I just wanted to say something. She said, but I knew what I had. She said to him, son, you got in awful late. You didn't get much sleep. Are you sure you want, And he said, yeah, Mom, I'm going to go to church. So he went to church with her. Well, this went on a couple of times where he would get up and he would go to her church. Finally, one Sunday, he went to church and accepted Christ, got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. And is following God when she quit. See, this is one thing. Loads of people waste time praying because they tear up everything they pray with what they do. They're tearing it all up. Praying is only good if you walk and live in line of your prayers. Amen. If you ask God to bless, then you be a blesser. Amen. You ask God to help, you be a helper. Amen. Not one to tear down. See, and I found this as I learned over time concerning. I don't talk about my children not going to follow God and they're going to live off into sin and they ain't going off into sin. That ain't happening. They're following God. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. Hallelujah. They're going to be in heaven with mommy and dad. That's what's going to happen. Now my grandkids too. They're all going to be there. Hallelujah. Why? Because that's the plan of God. Now I don't have authority over everybody else's kids. Don't come pray me. Come ask me to do it for your kids. I can't do it for your kids anyhow. And you need to learn to do it. Because see, if I tried to do it anyhow, you'd block it. It wouldn't work anyway. It's good preaching. No, because you've got to be the doer of it. Not me. You got to be a doer of it. That's the way it is. And so what you start speaking concerning blessing. You know, I learned this, and you've heard me say this about it. Quit being so nosy about what your kids are doing and anybody else. Quit being nosy about it. Quit trying to find out what happens. Stop that. End that. And when you do find out, ignore it. Don't make it the topic of your conversations. Learn to ignore it. Learn to walk by faith. Hallelujah. Learn to say the right things. Learn to say blessing instead of cursing. Amen. Learn to do that. Hallelujah. You know, some people, I know I have relatives, brothers and sisters that are hard to be around. But you know what? God says He's going to bring them all in. I mean, I don't preach to them because I know they're going to listen to me anyhow. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'll go preach to any of them you want me to. You tell me what you want to do. But I said, you know, unless you tell me, I'm not. See, it's not your job, number one. Did you ever notice your kids don't pay no attention to you and a lot of things like that, you know? See, and you wasted your time and wore yourself out and did things when you could have had a good life together with your husband and wife. And instead, you worried about the kids. Good preaching, folks. It's good preaching. And just go, praise God. God, you know what? They're in the hands of God. Those terrors are in the hands of God. Glory to God! He's got to work with them. We don't! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! We're having a big time. Glory to God! We're blessed coming in and going out. Glory to God! See, you got. See, you know, really, I mean, we've done things the hard way. Hallelujah! God excited. Say, God. See, what the Bible tells us, cast our care over on Him. Sometimes that's exactly what you got to do. Cast the care of them over and don't take them back. Say, I'm going to take them back when they're kids of God. We're going to take them back. But until then, who are they? I don't know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, your kids are going to be in heaven with you. Get that thinking on, get that on your mind. Hallelujah. When you're talking about people and stuff you're praying for, just in generally doing that, talking about people. Hallelujah. Pray blessing concerning them. Oh, people get to be a mess, don't they? I mean, they can drive you crazy. You know, you can turn around and just, sometimes I wonder what planet some Christians came off of. You just think, my God, there are people on Mars. You know, there are. And they come down here and visit. And they do have green things that stick out of their heads. It is true. It's all true, folks. And you wonder because they think so different. It's like, oh my God. And it is. But you gotta love them. You gotta want them saved. It's just like Jesus. You know, Jesus, the only people He ever spoke harsh to were the Pharisees and them. But you know what? They were liars. They knew who He was. They knew. Nicodemus said, we know that you're sent from God because nobody can do the works that you do because unless God's with them. They knew it. He never talked to the people like that. If they did something crazy or dumb, He never talked to them in that manner. He didn't talk to them. See, He told them they were kids of the devil. He never talked to the ordinary person like that who came along who didn't know, didn't understand. And see, we're dealing with a lot of, I can get pretty bold with some of the preachers because they ought to know, some of these preachers ought to know something better. See, leaders ought to know something a little bit more. They're held at a higher place. See, I'm responsible for a lot more because of my office. See, we need to understand those things and people. That's why, you know, don't step into an office that don't belong to you. Because you'll be held accountable for something that wasn't yours you tried to take. Not good. See, in families that happens. It's not good. Never is good. Hallelujah. Don't usurp authority. Glory to God. See, Jesus was interested in people, and that's what we want. We want to preach to God. People are just downright ignorant. They don't know. We're living in a world of such ignorance and stupidity in the church. And we need to know that. But God has a plan to change things. Hallelujah. Well, I've gone a long time. We're at noontime is what we are at noontime. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is moving. Amen. The Holy Ghost is doing things. I don't, Lord, should I? Well, I don't know. Let me ask you. Do you want me to tell you something that the Lord spoke to me about last night? Yes. Do you want me to do it? Yes. Well, I can tell you part of it and is the beginning of it. Because there's things that God, I've been praying over the years about a number of things. God has shown me over the years, numbers of things about the end times, about things that would, events that would happen, things that would go on. And back in 1991, on a Wednesday night, 10:30, I was praying and things about it. I had been studying some things about a Sunday's message that I was going to be ministering, and I was studying some things and praying. And it was one of those things about the clear blue. The Lord said to me, I want to show you what's going to happen in Lebanon Valley in the last days. And then he told me, he said, go read 1 Kings. Get 1 Kings in the 18th chapter. And 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, was where Elijah, there was a drought in the land. It had already been there 3 years. The drought had been in Israel for 3 years. Things were a very desperate situation. And God had hidden, if you read the 17th chapter, God had hidden Elijah away. God had first had Elijah go to the brook Cherith and had him go there. He fed him with bread and water. The ravens would bring it in to him. And then he sent him over to Sidon to a widow woman there where she, her meal barrel and her oil, you know, was sustained for the rest of the time while he was there with her. And he raised her son. Her son had died and he raised her from the dead. But God had hidden him away. They were looking for him. And one of the things they did is when God called him out, years ago, the Lord started me over the thing where God called Elijah out. And he's talked about this valley here. He said there's going to be a big move of God coming in the last days through this valley. He said this valley will be a place of great light. And he said he talked about the fact of Elijah coming out. And anyhow, he called him up to Mount Carmel. They went up to Mount Carmel. He told Ahab, he said to King Ahab, Ahab, you know, bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the Asherah and bring them up to, and all the people of Israel, bring them up to Mount Carmel. He said, we're going to meet up there. God's going to do something. And they went up there. And anyhow, that's when he had Elijah, had two bulls, and they told the prophets of Baal to get their bull, cut it up, try to, you know, call fire down on it. And it didn't work, and they did it all day. And anyhow, Elijah brought the fire down. And the Lord told me about the fire falling. He said about the fire will fall. He said there's going to be, the fire is going to fall in the last days. And he talked about, in other words, the demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. God's going to move with his glory in the last day. And then he said, this is going to happen. What is that? We need to understand. We always think in line with this about the last day move of God. We think about sinners getting saved first. And that's not what it is. It's about their church being returned to God. Right now, the church is a messed up bunch. And their average Christian is not walking with God. It doesn't mean that they're not saved. But they're not walking with God. They're not very spiritual. They're not. People generally don't know. I mean, you guys probably have forgotten more than most Christians know in their lifetime. But anyhow, and one of the things they did is Elijah put to death the 400 prophets of Baal, and the Lord said to me concerning it, I'm just going into a quick overview of what God told me that night, is he said, that is a picture, he said, of Israel putting away their sin. So he said, this is going to be, he said, God's people, my people, are going to put away their sin. And then the rain came. See, that's the anointing. The anointing is going to come on the church. And when the anointing came on the church, Elijah outran the king's chariot back to Jezreel. And God said to me, he said, the church will outrun the world in this last day. The anointing of God on the church. He said, that's what's going to happen. Well, in that, was it last night the Lord spoke to me as reminded me. I was praying about some things and I was just started, in fact, at that time praying just somewhat. I'd been doing some reading and the word and stuff, but I just started praying about this morning's service and I was praying about that and I only prayed a few minutes and all of a sudden, 1 Kings 18 just came up to me. And I just knew, I just stopped and I said, Lord, what is it you want, about 1 Kings 18? I said, what is this? What's going on with this? And so I got my Bible out and opened it up to 1 Kings 18. And then the Lord said to me, he said, I'm about to do something. And so the Lord had changed, you know, it's one of the things is why we think certain things are going on. And we think the devil did this or the devil did that. And the Lord said this to me. He said, there's been a great drought in the land. There's a great spiritual drought in America. And there's been, he said, for many years, there's been many years. This didn't just start. There's many years of a great drought. And he said, which I didn't realize. See, God took Elijah and hid him away. Elijah, in a sense, was a type of the church. He was a type of Christ in the earth. God demonstrated his glory through him. Well, when Elijah was hid, the glory stopped. And God said this. He said, which, let me see things a little different. God said, I have hid the remnant of church, the remnant of the church away. He said, and he said, the drought has been continued and gone because I have hidden the church away. He is dealing with the people in the earth. He's dealing with the people. God wants these people to live in this mess they've made. Let them live in it. It's what he did with Elijah. He called a judgment down, hid the guy who the glory moves through, and he said, things are about to change now. He said, I'm about ready to call the remnant church out. I'm about ready to call them out. Now, the remnant church, he's going to call them out. Call them out to ministry. We're being called, going to be called out. See, this drought's been going on. See, we're the church of Jesus. God ain't going to move without the church. If nobody follows him, there is no move of God. There is no move. God don't come and move without people. God's glory came back when Elijah was brought out, then the glory was revealed. And he said, the glory will be revealed through the remnant church that I will bring out now that I have had hidden. He said, I have fed them with my word and with my spirit. I've given them drink. And he said, they have been sustained through this end time, this the whole time. He said, I have sustained the remnant church and now I am going to bring them out. Hallelujah. Just as he sustained the prophet, he has sustained us for this time. He has put us in this place. See, the reason the glory, it's been, see, we've been wondering, well, what's going on? We're trying to change something. And see, this is one of the things that's taken the time to pray, to hear from God, to find out what's going on, to know what's going on. Like to me, this is a great relief to understand. Now I understand why things have been going as they have. I understand what it's been going on. The church has been trying to move without God. The church has been, instead of waiting on God for our time to step forward, Elijah stayed out. He stayed hidden. He stayed out there. And it was time to come out. And the whole thing of this, our coming is out, is for this purpose. Is to turn God's people back to him again. That's what God said to Elijah on the mountain. That God was going to, God, when it says that God, Elijah prayed and said, Lord, just tell them that I'm just your servant. Show them I'm just your servant doing what you told me to do. But you're the one turning their hearts back to you again. That's number one. It's not getting ourselves noticed. It's God turning the hearts of his people back to him again. That's what this is about. We're coming out. When God's people are turned back, it's going to rain. It's going to be, and when it rains, I'm just telling you, as he told me, he said the harvest will come. He said torrents of rain will fall. Torrents of rain will fall and the anointing will come. And he said there's going to be a great harvest and then the church will leave. Hallelujah. That's where we're at. Hallelujah. We're coming to the fulfillment of what he told me 30 years and 6 months ago. He told me about what would be in this last days. And we're at the point now. He said, I'm about ready to call the church out of hiding. The remnant church, he said, is coming out. Hallelujah. They're going to come out of hiding and the glory of God is going to be revealed. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. That's good news. That's good news. Hallelujah. God, see, God's paying attention. So I still think, we've been going through this, but I look at, he has sustained us, hasn't he? He's blessed us the whole time, hasn't he? He's been good to us, provided for us when all the mess, I tell you all the things. I look back with the Obama administration and they were telling me I was going to go under. We didn't go under. He said, see, he has sustained us just like he did Elijah. My God, he has sustained us from their table. He sustained us from their table. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's good. He's good. He's been working the whole time. He's been upholding us all this time. He's been doing it. And see, this is one of the things that I've learned. You walk for long periods of time by faith. And sometimes, you know, your flesh gets in the way and you want to quit. You think, oh my God, you know, God, what is going on? Things are crazy. But you know, you just got to learn to just keep walking by faith. And you know what? It isn't always just an easy thing to do. Your mind will think things. People are saying stuff and you have all this going. But you know, there's one thing that sustained me. God is good. Amen. And He's always good to His people. He's always good to His people. Amen. And you just keep walking. No matter what says, I thank God I had people who trained me to keep walking. I had people to teach me to keep walking. And I learned as a young Christian, you just keep walking. Then I come to the place I learned to sustain myself and learned to, Ed, you just got to keep walking. And learn, you got to feed yourself and keep walking. But God's been sustaining us. He's been upholding us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We haven't missed it at all, folks. We've been right in the middle of the plan of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Lord God, I want to thank You this morning because, Lord God, You're about ready to call us out. And Lord God, through this time period we've gone through for the last number of years, Lord God, You've trained us during this time. You've changed us over these times. Lord God, we're not the same people. We're not the same people of a decade ago. We've stepped into a different area and a different walk, and we've matured in this time. We see things a whole lot different than we did. And Lord God, You taught us, and Lord, we've learned to stand in good times and hard times and whatever times, but we've learned, and Lord God, Lord, we've learned one thing through this whole thing that has gone on so far, is we can trust You. You're so trustworthy. And I want to thank You, Lord God, for this time, Lord God. It almost is it. Lord, I can see it. I can see, Lord, we've been in hiding. You have hid us. It's almost like You have put Your hand over us that the world didn't see. And Lord God, but You kept us in a place where You comforted us and You've helped us and You strengthened us during these time periods. And Father, I want to thank You. You have prepared us during these times to come out to bring glory. To bring glory. And I just want to say thank You, Lord God. Lord, there's nothing more wonderful for Your people than that they could be used to reveal Your glory. Lord God, it's just such an incredible thing that You would do that through us. And I want to thank You, Father. Father, we want to uphold Your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to push Him to the forefront that men, as Elijah had said, we're just servants. We're just Your servants. Lord, we have not attained to any place. We didn't become the remnant because we're great. We are the remnant because You're great. We are what we are because of what You have made us and put into us. And Lord, we just want them to see, Lord God, that You are God and that You and Your great love and mercy are calling Your people back to You again. Lord, I want to thank You for all the eyes that will be opened of Your saints. Lord God, who over time have strayed off, but Lord God, they're going to come running back to Your glory again. Lord God, Your forgiveness, Lord, You will not remember their sins anymore. You'll not remember their backslidings. You'll not remember them. You will restore them in this last day and hour, and You will anoint them, Lord God, to go forth in the name of Jesus to reveal Your glory. Amen. And Father, I thank You concerning our loved ones. Lord God, Lord, You know our hearts. Our hearts and our desires are to follow You and to walk with You. Hallelujah. Lord, as none of us have been perfect with it. Hallelujah. Lord, none of us would get anything if we tried to walk in our perfection. But Lord God, by faith in the perfection of Jesus Christ, we can stand before you whole and sound in the name of Jesus. A people full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord God, concerning our loved ones. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, I want to thank you for bringing him in. I thank you said, Lord God, you would bless us in the fruit of our body. And our fruit of our body are blessed in the name of Jesus. They are not cursed. They're not going off into eternity without Christ. Hallelujah. Lord God, they will be saved. I want to thank you, Lord God, the Holy Spirit is working mightily. Jesus, you said that we should pray that the Lord of harvest would send laborers. Hallelujah, in the harvest. I thank you, Lord God, you have prepared laborers across their path. You have prepared ones, Lord God, that you know that they would listen to, that would speak to them, Lord God. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Devil, in the name of Jesus, you get your hands off of our offspring in the name of Jesus. We command you to stop, cease, and desist in your actions against them from blinding them from the truth in Jesus' name. And Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for light coming upon them. The Word of God coming and falling on their hearts that they hear, understand, and comprehend in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for light and life in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And they will be saved. Hallelujah. Lord, ones that are backslid will come back to the Word of God and walk with God again and flourish in these last days and times in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're not going to worry at all about it. We're not going to fret or fear about it. Hallelujah. Lord God, there is no better hands to put them in by faith than yours. Hallelujah. And we thank you that we can trust you with them. Hallelujah. Oh, are you faithful, Lord God? So faithful you are, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you for saving our loved ones. Thank you for bringing it in. Thank you that we're going to be for eternity together. Hallelujah. In heaven, glorified and magnifying our God. Being in the new heaven and the new earth. Hallelujah. Together. Hallelujah. For eternity. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good.